world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. No, I'm not complaining, but I am complaining that it's a conspiracy. It has to be a conspiracy. I got up at 5:15 this morning. For those of you who aren't very good in math, that's an hour and 45 minutes ago, putting together a great show for us. And well, anyway, I think it was going to be a great show. And then I do this every morning. Then I send all the links to the producer. And then our show kicks off and runs and we go. And it disappeared. All of this great stuff that I had prepared for today's show disappeared. I don't know where it went. It went into ether land, ether zone, wherever. Doesn't matter. We're gonna have us a great show anyway. Thanks for joining us. And man, I continue to say it. What a time to be alive and all the stuff that's going on. Did you guys see this? This just off the top of my head. I just built something on my desk here. Hang on a minute. Did you guys see yesterday Tucker Carlson talking about the Nephilim? Did you guys see that? Oh yeah. Listen, folks, there's an exposure coming in the world like we have never, ever seen. And one of the things that really frustrates me this morning is I had this great meme, what else do you call them, on Facebook that I wanted to share with everybody. And of course, it disappears. So bear with me today. We're up and running, right? We're up and running. I was really, Spencer, if you can, pull up that song by the Hollies, if you can, real quickly. Because this really, I was, Michelle and I were kind of hanging out a little bit together, and I started pulling up some old songs. You know how you reminisce, and somebody starts playing the song, and all of a sudden, boy, you're back 30 years ago, or you're back 40 years ago, and all that stuff. And this song popped into my head, and I couldn't shake it off, and so I pulled it back up. I'm gonna play this. This is the Hollies, where I remember, right? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And I think I was prompted by the Lord to try to encourage you all this morning. The importance, man. You guys, some of you out there, are you looking at me? Some of you need to get to the annual. Some of you need to get to our annual, which is coming up here in about, 12 days, whatever it is. And if money's the issue, don't let money be an issue. If you can't stay in a hotel, we'll figure out a way. But the fellowship is really, really rich. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, okay? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm going to tell you something. The Luciferian left, whoever they might be, the Luciferian left and their friends in the middle, let's call them, I hate the term rhinos, because see, understand that this propaganda, these words are all words that they have given us, right? They have given us. And so a rhino is a Republican in name only. And if the truth would be told, do we even know what a Republican is? Do you even know what that means? A Republican? That guy is a Republican in name only. Okay, well, what's a Republican? What does a Republican believe? And by the way, how did we ever get to the point where there's only a yin and a yang? To go to a mean. Yeah. Only a Republican and a Democrat. You're one or the other. Two-party system. And why is it that to be a Democrat, you have to be pro-choice? And to be a Republican, you have to be pro-life. And to be a Democrat, you have to be pro-homo. And to be a Republican, you have to be anti-homo. And to be a Republican, you have to be pro-war. And to be a Democrat, you have to be anti-war. Why is it that our political parties are set up on a yin and a yang? And could it be it's done that way by on purpose? Why is it there are no, or as far as I know, very few pro-life Democrats? What is that all about? Aren't Catholics Democrats for the most part? Doesn't the Catholic Church drive, somebody help me out here. Wasn't the Vatican one of the drivers, the main drivers? Wasn't the Catholic Church one of the main drivers of the pro-life movement? Didn't the pro-life movement begin out of the Catholic Church? I think it did. Catholics were against birth control. You remember all that? They were against birth control. And you saw a family that had a bunch of children, say, oh, they must be Catholics, right? Because why? Catholics were pro-life. Then somebody explained to me how all the Catholics are Democrats. What happened there? How do they take us? See, they do such a great job of clouding our memories and our minds that they make us single issue voters. That's really what happens. The union guys, anybody out there, an old union Democrat? See, the old union Democrats, which my dad was one, the union Democrats voted Democrat because the union told them to. And I'll never forget a discussion I had with my dad when I thought I knew it all back in 1980, Reagan. I don't know when it was. My dad voted for whoever Reagan ran against. My dad voted for the other guy. Was it Carter? Mondale. Who was it Reagan ran against? My dad, a union Democrat, voted for that guy. I think it was Mondale. And I remember sitting having a conversation. I had little kids. One or two little children. And I said to my dad, Dad, how come you're voting Democrat? Now, right, I'm the expert. He's old. He doesn't know what's going on. He was a Catholic. And he says, well, Dave, I'll never forget it. Sitting out on the chair outside of our house. He said, well, Dave, for as long as I can remember, when a Democrat was in power, the economy was good. And when the Republicans were in power, we either had a war or a recession. Now, that's what my dad told me. That would have been 1978, somewhere, I don't know. When did Reagan come into office? Anyway, and I said, Dad, I said, that's really good. But the last time there was a Democrat president, I had to explain to my child what oral sex was. Oh, it was Bill Clinton. That's who it was. Who did Clinton run against? So I said, Dad, last time there was a Democrat president, I had to explain to my children what oral sex was. And I saw the color drain out of his face. My dad was a good old dude, man. And he would never have ever wanted his children to be exposed to that kind of stuff that Democrats are exposing people to today. My dad would never, ever, ever have approved of that for his grandchildren. You with me, friends? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? And now here we are so many years later, and it's still the yin and the yang. Still the Republican good, Democrat bad. Not there any, because see what they've forced us to do, whether we believe it or not, they have forced us all to become one issue voters, all of us for the most part, one issue voters. And if you come here at a regular basis, you know this, that I only vote Republican because there isn't anybody else to vote for. The Republican Party, they're the yin and the yang. This is a system that we're fighting against. Neither political party has the interests of the people folks. I'm sorry, I don't want to shock you. They don't have your best interests at heart. It's all about power and incumbency and something far deeper and darker than what we even understand. And you look at the American church, the American churches, for the most part, split down the middle on when they go to divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the book, right? So they split us right down the middle, and half the people are voting for this, and Christians I'm talking about. The Christian vote is not monolithic. You would think all Christians would be pro-life. You would think, but they're not all pro-life. Well, you would think that all Christians would be anti-homosexual, but they're not. And so what would be the unifying force, the power that would be able to power to control, to expand the kingdom, which we spoke about yesterday, for that power to be able to be exerted, we would have to be unified in our approach. And we're not. We're not unified. We have Christians in the church where you go, sitting beside you in that church, you have pro-choice Christians sitting right beside you. We have pro-homosexual Christians sitting right beside you. Do you understand? We have pro-public education Christians sitting right beside you. We have pro-Israel Christians sitting right beside Christians that don't know anything about Israel. Do you understand the divide and conquer? So my dad's right, though. All the polls show us that when people go to the polls to vote, they, for the most part, unless you're really a crazy evangelifish like me, most Christians do not vote moral issues when they go to the polls. They don't. They vote, what do they call them? Lunchbox issues. That's what most people vote. The economy. It's economy stupid, right? It's the economy stupid. And so they lie to us about the economy. The dollar isn't even a dollar anymore. Today, just today, or was it last night, the petrodollar agreement tanked. That's why I continue to say to you, get as mad as you want. If you aren't purchasing metal, I don't even know what I'll tell you. If you think, I had one laying around here. If you think this old paper dollar, where is it? If you think this old paper dollar is worth anything, you're dumber than a rock. You're dumber than a rock. But they get us fighting over these issues. Okay, I'm going to try to pull this together, right? Try to pull it together. And I don't know about you. When I go to the ballot box, number one issue for me, what would be the Lord's number one issue? That's kind of the way that I do it. No secondary issues. When I go to the ballot box, I put first and foremost life. I do. Life. Now, wait a minute, Christians. Not your best life. I don't put your best life, which is what's happened to a lot of Christianity, right? Because they've programmed us to have our best life now. So Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and all those guys, they could have been teaching Christians a doctrine that when you go to the polls, you have to do what's best for you, right? Right? So that's what's happened to us. And so a lot of Christians are going and voting their best life now. And so some women, Christian women, have been convinced that it's their body, their choice. They've been convinced of that. And that's righteous and that's holy and all that, see. And so they divide us and they conquer us. And you go and you look at the statistics about who's voting where in the next elections. And they got it, man, they got it down to a science. They got it down to a science. Because why? We don't stand on truth. The Christians who go vote don't stand on truth. To me, the number one issue is I'm voting for someone who will protect life, born and unborn. That's my perspective. But I'm not a social issues voter in that I'm anti-welfare. I'm anti-welfare. I don't think it's the government's job to take care of people who are poor. I think it's the church's job to take care of people who are poor. But why doesn't the church take care of people who are poor? Because it was easy for the church to give that responsibility to the government, and then the church didn't have to spend all their money ministering the gospel to downtrodden people. Didn't have to do that. The government was taking care of them. And you go to the average pastor, I'll be careful when I say that, when you go to the pastor and you tell someone, pastor, our neighbor is in need, and yada, 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 the pastor say, well, have you been to the welfare office? See, the government, the church, you most meet the needs of people. You're most real. Christianity is most real to people when you meet their needs. And I'll never forget, say what you want to about Pastor Rod Parsley. I'll never forget something that he said when I was a baby Christian. Baby Christian. And he said, how many in the congregation, paraphrasing, how many out there have ever had the $100 handshake? I thought, well, I'm sitting there, I'm as green as they come, thinking, $100 handshake. He says, yeah, how many of you ever have come into a situation where you went up and somebody stuck their hand out and shook it, and when you shook their hand, you pulled your hand back and there was a $100 bill in your hand? How many of you ever had the $100 handshake? And I was thinking, man, haven't had many of those. I was thinking back 25 years ago. And then Pastor Rod said something that really kind of transformed my way of thinking. He said, the problem is, there are a lot of you out there, Pastor Rod Parsley, quoting him. He said, there's a lot of you out there, too many of you out there looking for a $100 handshake rather than giving a $100 handshake. Boom. Wow. That's the church, isn't it? The church is looking for the $100 handshake. Church isn't giving it. Oh, you might get a $100 handshake if they come to your church. Maybe, probably not though. I'll bet you this. I'll bet you when you go to your church, wherever it might be, the emphasis is on giving to the church. Giving to the church.
Yep.
Why are you giving to the church? Because the church is supposed to be the storehouse where you give your tithes that feed the needy. But we don't do that. But now the tithes go in there and they pay the choir director and they pray the praise director and they pray the assistant pastor and the assistant pastor's assistant and the assistant pastor's wife and the one who takes care of the children's church. Is somebody out to say amen? So the church has become a business. The church has become a business. And you will never touch somebody's heart more than you when you reach out and you give them a monetary gift to meet their need. You never do it. And friends, ask yourself this. How often does that happen in the church where you go? That $100 handshakes are going on. Or is the church telling you, give it to us and we'll distribute it? It's pretty profound, isn't it? Because I know from my own experience that the times when people have given me $100, when we were just getting past the Salt Ministries going, and somebody would come up and get, it was probably a $20 handshake, to be honest with you. When somebody would come up and give me a $20 handshake, I never forgot them. And see, what the church has done, what the government has done, boy, I feel this deeply. Hang on with me. Maybe this is why the Lord canceled, got rid of that, what was going on. For the most part, the American church has taken away from you and me the blessing to give. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's something about giving a $100 handshake to somebody who has no money.
Amen.
There's something that happens between you and them when they know that you met their need out of your, whether it be excess, whatever it is. There's a bond that happens. They never forget it. And that has been robbed from us because we are taught to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse that there would be meat in my house. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why would there be... Some of you have been to the Dobenmeyer house before. You walk into the Dobenmeyer house, and that sweet little thing upstairs here, she'll have more stuff out there for you to eat than you could ever imagine. And she'll feed anybody and everybody that walks through that door, and she doesn't ask anybody to give an offering to pay for it. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to paint a picture to you. That you come to our house, you eat. And you come to our house, and you eat because Michelle cooked it. There's a bond that happens. You come to our house and you eat. We don't take up an offering afterwards to pay for the meal. Why? Because we have meat in our storehouse. And it's our honor. I'm not bragging about us. Don't think that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about you. You come into our house. Freely you came in and freely you leave and freely you eat. That should be the church. That isn't the church. Yeah. Look, we all understand accountability. We all understand that. Sure we do. But you try to go to your local church and ask for some financial help from your pastor and see what's going to happen. You're going to go through a chain of talking to people that you got to go to this elder and 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 this elder. What about say, hey, dude, you need some money here. Here, brother, here. See, the church doesn't really believe in the law. It's a law of sowing and reaping. You shall reap whatsoever you sow. And I'll never forget the old bread man, Art Wilhite. Some of you know who he is. Some of you don't know. He spent his whole adult retired life filling up bread trucks and driving them around and feeding the poor with it, the bread man. And I would go and help Art. This is 15 years ago, probably now. I'd go help Art on the bread truck and distribute the bread. By the way, what a blessing that would be to go distribute food to the needy. Anyway, I was with Art one time and he reached in his hand and he put it in pocket and he pulled it out and he gave me one of those handshakes. And it was, I don't know, $20 or $50. Doesn't even matter what it was. And I'll never forget what Art said to me. He said, Coach, here you go. I need a financial blessing. I'll never forget that. He planted to me because he needed a return. And the Bible says that if you don't plant, you don't reap. And I'm sorry that the church where you go or have gone your whole life has locked you in prison over tithing. That all the money that you bring into the storehouse, that's Malachi. Can you find that for me, Spencer? Can you find that for me, Malachi? Relax. I'm not asking you for money. Relax.
Malachi 3:10.
Malachi 3:10 says this. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. By the way, back in those days, the tithe was actually grain and food and meat. It was food. It was sustenance. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why would there be a storehouse? We have a storehouse. Michelle and I have a storehouse for, we call it prepping. We have a storehouse. And it isn't money. We ain't storing money. We got beans and potatoes, and right? That's what a storehouse is. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And what has the church done? They have made that about paying money to the church to run, not a storehouse. The people in the congregation that need money, folks, they don't come to the storehouse to get the money. No, no, they're directed to the government to get the money. Somebody say amen, so I know you got a friend. At
least boom.
One friend.
Amen.
And as a result, they have cut off the supply line. Why? Because you reap what you sow. And if you don't sow, you don't reap. Vinny, that's a boom. That's a boom.
Boom.
And I look around me, and if you were to read my emails every day, and I'm not complaining, the needs in just the people that are in here every day, they're staggering. Not all financial. But you mean to tell me you got $100 and the $100 you have could bring relief to one of your friends and you don't freely give it to them? Are you kidding me? Folks, I'm not talking finances. If you're hearing finances, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If that's what you're hearing. The relationship that's developed between me and Steve Deck, that he comes and willingly sows up at Sky High. Not just Steve, I get Joe Allen, all Mark Trump, all the guys that came up there, all of them came up there and sowed. You understand the relationship that was developed when they sowed into my life? Friends, that's the way it happens everywhere you go. You want to reach somebody for the cause of Christ? Meet a financial need for them. I was driving. I'll try to tell this out without crying. I was about a year ago, I think it was, about this time of year. I was driving down the road. I'd just been to the post office. Look, Coach, we live on donations. Michelle and I, our friend, Pastor Saul, we live on donations. So I understand giving. I understand the importance of it. And I'd just been to the post office and that day, and I went into the got all the mail that comes. And Some there's checks in there. Some wasn't any checks in there that day. No checks. Doesn't matter. Sometimes that happens. That's not what I'm talking about. If that's what you're hearing, I'm sorry. And I'm driving down Main Street in Hebron, heading home. And there's this woman, young lady, about like one of my daughters is what I thought. She had a carrying one in a one little baby here, and one in a stroller, and one holding her other hand as she's walking down. And I heard the Holy Spirit so clear. So give her some money. For what? I just went to the post office. Wasn't any money in there. Give her some money. So I turned around. I had to literally pull in, turn around, come back, and pulled up beside her. And I said, I didn't know her from Adam. And I said, ma'am, are those your three children? Of course they are. What a stupid question to ask, right? I said, you homeschool your children? She says, yeah. Yeah, we homeschool them. I said, man, I bet things get tight in your house, don't they? One income. She says, yeah, they sure do. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a $100 bill and I handed her the $100 bill. And I could feel the relief come over her. It's tangible. And I drove down the road thinking, why am I so damn stingy? Why don't I believe the law of sowing and reaping? Why don't I believe that? Relax, I'm not asking for money. Pull that song up and play it. So I was going through all those old songs yesterday, and this came up. And folks, I want you to listen to this and how profound this song is. My wife and I were listening to it yesterday, and she asked me, are they believers? When was this written? When was this song? I mean, way back, right? Way back. Go ahead and play that.
The road is long. So long, long road.
All right, man, you can cut it off. Huh? He ain't heavy. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He's my brother. And God help us to not be more willing to meet the needs of our brothers. So having said that, if you can't afford to come to Sky High, you go today and you sign up. If you can only give $5, whatever it is. We want you to come and receive the blessing of the fellowship that we're going to have at this event. If money is an issue for you, I apologize that we even put you in that position. You come. You say, Coach, where am I going to stay? I don't know. We'll pop up some tents. We'll figure out something. We'll find a place for you to rent. But I believe this is a critical, critical moment because, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how many more times we're going to be able to do this.
Amen.
I don't know how many more we're going to be able to do it. And it's critical that that you all be there. So, Spence, I don't know how we do this, but I'd like to set up a registration for people to come on the website, and it don't cost them nothing. They can donate whatever they want to. If you only got $5, you come. And if you can't afford to do it, there are some people who have extra money, and I believe they'll pick up the tab for you. We need you to come for your sake, to come and be part of this. Amen? So we'll get that set up, and we're sitting right now, I don't know, we're maybe 50, 60, something like that. I want 100 people. Well, at least 100 people to be here.
God bless you, Coach.
Amen. Hey, it ain't going to be me. Why? Because somebody else is going to meet the need, right? Somebody else will meet it. And I know right now that there are some of you out there who cannot afford, you can't afford it. I know you can't. And I was telling Michelle this morning, as God is my witness, I'm in the process, as soon as I get off here today, I'm going to find some Airbnbs around here where I'm going to be able to house people who can't afford a hotel. You need to come. You need to come. Now, you may end up in an Airbnb with somebody you don't know. I won't make you sleep in the same bed or the same bedroom. But we'll figure out a way to make this thing happen. We want you to come. Spencer, can you throw up on the screen? How do they register for this thing, Spencer? Now, friends, listen. We're going to take the monetary requirement off of it. We want you to come. But it's important that we know who's coming because we got to prepare for it. All right. Look, it says there to purchase a ticket. It tells you how to purchase a ticket. And the ticket was, I don't know, $57. We tried to make it as cheap, $59. We tried to make it as quick. Look, don't worry about that. I don't know how we do that, Spence, but do that. Okay. Figure that out for us. And for those of you, you come and we believe the Lord will take care of it. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. But listen, folks, you got to register. Will you register so we know? So we can make proper plans. By the way, it looks so beautiful. I was up there yesterday. Oh, my goodness. It's just trees. It's so green. Except where there's supposed to be a pond, and that's kind of brown. Come on in, Roger.
Oh, I just quick amen on that, having attended the last couple ones. And it's just, Dave, what is so nice, and I speak to those that are listening more than necessarily you right now, is it's just so nice to arrive and be with people that are like-minded. People that you know on the show, you've seen once, you haven't seen in 3 years. There's just kind of a bond there that is just ignited for the weekend and so forth. So I do encourage people. I want to
get a priority.
Yeah. And like you said, that we'll get people there. And the thing is, you know, sometimes, you know, we're all going to need help sometime in our life, be it spiritual, financial, physical, we're all going to need some help in our life. And it's hard sometimes to ask for help or to say, hey, but do not be afraid with this. You know, this is the way life is. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
The issue of money, I think I read someplace that money is talked about in the Bible more than any other topic.
Yeah.
And if it's not number one, it's probably in the top five, but I think it is number one. You know, and I think we probably need to spend a little more time on that topic in our life and in groups like this because of the emphasis of how to handle money in mm-hmm. God's word. You know, I was raised around a father, you know, once that dollar hit the bank, you didn't touch it. yeah. And that stuck with me a little bit. And that ain't the way it should be. You know, that's not no, right. It you yeah. know, but
especially Roger, if it's a law of sowing and reaping, right?
Yes, yes. Law. And I don't believe in the name it, claim it, but I do believe in helping others. And I do believe in doing that. It honors God, and He certainly is a good father and will take care of you in doing so. But you know, we spend a lot of time on, you know, when's Jesus coming back, or, you know, all of those things. Those are all nice topics to talk about. Yeah. But I think money could handle a little more conversation because it is a main conversation in God's word of how.
It is the greatest stress in marriages, Roger. It is yep. the greatest stress in marriages.
Yeah.
It is.
So,
yeah, we understand the inflation and all that stuff's going on. We're all suffering for it. So, look. I want the registrations to explode today. All right, I want them to explode. And if you're out there and you can't come and you'd like for somebody else to come, then make an offering, make a donation, and help somebody else come. Joe Allen, come on in.
Time is at a essence. I would give a little correlation. We just had June 6th, D-Day. These men and women are in their 90s. You think they're going to be there next year? Time is at the essence. Sign up. You don't know what's going to happen. Come see Coach. Enough said.
Joe, there's a chance none of us will be here next year. I mean, really, come on. Let's be honest about the conditions that we find ourselves in here now, right? Yeah, I get it, Jack. Jack said the drive is the larger issue. I understand that. I do understand that. And but for some of you, it hasn't been the drive, hadn't been any of that. It's been the fact that you don't have the finances to do it. We understand it. You ain't heavy. You're our brother. Okay. And sometimes when you run a ministry, which is what we do, hey, you count bucks, right? I mean, it's the reality of it. Money in, money out. Money in, it's the reality of it. I don't want anybody not to come because they can't afford to come. And if you want to come and you don't have a place to stay, text me, email, whatever, and we'll find a place for you to stay. All right. Now, look, we only got like 10 days, 11 days. How many days it is? 10 days. We have 10 days. So you got to register soon so that Michelle and I can begin the work of finding a place to stay and all that kind of stuff. All right. So again, like I said, I'm going to dive into Airbnbs. I'll find a place for people to stay. Sky High is full. We got that'll be filled up. Our house will be filled up. We'll put you somewhere. Dale, come on in.
Yeah, hallelujah, Coach. This goes 20-something years back with me for my family and homeschooling. And this event, now knowing that it's always in June, just like when you all came down here for the Tony Spell thing, it's always
3 years ago today, right? 3 years ago today, Dale.
Yes. 3 years ago today, that decision came down from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. But we always use this as our vacation time. This is our vacation. We've did it with OSA, and we do it with Pass the Salt. So we already know this is happening. And you know what? Some people might be behind the eight ball. We can help them out. But you look forward. And if the Lord tarries that next year, you don't wait to the last minute. You say, you know what? I'm making preparations that this is going to be my vacation. This is going to be my road trip. I'm going to set aside. And then guess what? When it happens, it happens. And so I'm excited, Coach, because my wife is coming this time and my son Levi is coming, right? Right. And we made a road trip out of this one too.
Amen, Dale. Amen. By the way, Spencer just texted me. You now can register for $1 online. For $1, you can register. Blessings. Betty, come on in. No? All right, Betty better had her hand up.
There we go. There we are. I'm driving. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I just wanted to say that giving is such a blessing. I'd rather give than receive. And then when I'm leaving Charlotte now, Spencer, I got to head home, so I won't be able to stop. See you next weekend. But anyway, like when we go out and meet once in a while with the family down here, I'll start praying and saying, need like an elderly couple or a family. And I'll walk over and I say, Sean, this is what you need to do. So you go over there and say, you start talking to them. I give them a challenge card. I say, I'm going to buy your meal. And I take their slip and I pay for their meal. You know what? It is, you're right about the relief on their face.
Yeah.
They may not be able to go out and eat once in a while. And this is a special occasion. And it just kind of relieves them of that. Plus, I'm donating two air mattresses. They're really nice, and they got sheets with them and mattress pads. So I'm donating them to Sky High. So you got beds for two more people at Sky High. So to help you out, you know. And if anyone can't go, just call me. I'll pay your ticket. I'm not a rich person, believe me, but I will pay for your ticket. So
amen.
You come.
Amen, Betty. So come, folks. Come one, come all. Yada, yada. My phone's blowing up here. All right. Amen. Amen. Blessing. Okay, cool. Come on. We need to know this week, though. Okay, we need to know soon because we got to make food preparations and a lot of stuff we got to do. And, you know, a couple guys out there said, Coach, can I come in Wednesday night and help clean up? Sure. If you're gonna come in early, let me know just so that we make sure we have good housing place for you and all that kind of stuff. But Michelle will be cooking. You know that. She'll be cooking. So if you want to come in a couple days early, if you're bringing a camper, whatever, just let us know that stuff, all right? Cool. Ain't heavy, man. We're all going through this mess. We're all going through it. And as I said, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but today, or was it last night, the petrodollar, I don't know if you guys understand this. Since way back when, all oil, I'm getting to say this right, every country in the world who wanted to buy oil in the Middle East, they called it the petrodollar. They had to buy it in American dollars. So if you were in China and you wanted to buy oil out of the Middle East, you had to convert your Chinese yen into American dollars and pay in American dollars. Now, the bank did that. We all know how that happened. So everywhere across the world, when you were buying oil, when a country was buying oil, they had to buy it in American dollars. It was called the petrodollar. Folks, that agreement dissolved last night. So today, the only thing, folks, the only thing that's been propping up the American dollars, it's been the world's reserve currency, meaning it was tied to something. You remember when it used to be tied to gold and silver? In fact, Jack would tell us, the Constitution tells us that only gold and silver is legal money, only gold and silver. Well, we transferred it to oil and called it the petrodollar, and everybody who bought dollars around the world had to buy it using the American dollar. No more as of today. So you talk about a great reset that's coming. That great reset is, in fact, coming. That's what we're facing. And we don't know what that's going to look like. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm going to tell you, you think there's going to be an election? Huh? You think there's going to be an election coming up? You think these scoundrels that have lied and stolen and tried to kill us with vaccine, you think they're going to let somebody else in power? Huh? You're smarter than that, I hope. And understand what perilous times we find ourselves living in. Craig, come on in.
Just like God, when they started taking the abortion in 1971, God brought a case in 2021 to the Supreme Court. He said, okay, 50 years, bros, what are you going to do? 1974, that deal for the American dollar? 2024, what are you going to do?
50-year agreement ends. It was the last night or today, Craig. And we're going to see it in the markets, friends. We're going to find out that the American dollar ain't worth the paper that it's printed on. Really? Now, what's that great reset? By the way, Bitcoin is fake money as well. For those of you investing in Bitcoin, it's all any time. It's all fake money. It's all fake money. And the old saying goes, if you don't hold it, you don't own it. So whether it be gold, silver, whatever it is, take possession of what you have. Take it. Dig a hole in your backyard. If you don't hold it, you don't own it.
Remember when God let Haman build those gallows? And he hung the gallows hung him. God gives, he gives everyone. He gives me, he gives you enough lead rope to either have freedom in God, or he'll use that lead rope to hang you.
Amen. 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 Kevin.
You know, Dave, Henry Kissinger was the key person in establishing the petrodollar. Don't you find it ironic that Henry Kissinger and the death of Henry Kissinger and the death of the petrodollar are happening within months of each other?
That is something, huh? That is something. The death of the petrodollar. So, folks, who knows, man? Who knows? Who knows? That's why I think it's important that y'all get here this week and in 2 weeks, 10, 12 days, whatever it is. My math used to be good. It's first day of spring, summer, first day of summer. So it's June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And you go online right now and you can register for a dollar. We'd love to have you come. God will pick up the tab. All right, I'm going to pull something up here real quick. Just I'm kind of all over the place today. Pull up number two for me. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. This is the Equal Justice Tour website that we put into place back in Indict Hillary for Her Crimes, EqualJusticeTour.com. We made a website. We got a Facebook page. I'm sorry, let me turn that off so it stops doing that. And it's just kind of laid dormant, although I've been kind of diddling with it the last couple of weeks to try to reignite it. And for those of you who don't know, we took a group of people to Chappaqua, New York, and wanted to see Hillary and get indicted. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. Let's see what some of these posts. I put some modern posts on there, but we went there. And these are new ones I put up. Okay, we're trying to get people to, I'm trying to breathe a little bit of life back into that. But when you go to the, keep on. Okay, well there we go. Look at this. Because remember we're talking about how they've indicted Trump. Clinton lawyer granted immunity for deleting. Hillary Clinton received immunity for deleting 33,000 government emails, friends, during the 2016 campaign. This isn't just stuff that we've made up. This is a record that was, what's it say on it? January 2nd, 2020. This was posted on the Equal Justice Tour website. Scroll on down, Spencer. There's all kinds of great information. Hillary Clinton, a career criminal. Folks, this isn't stuff that I posted, folks. Let's indict Hillary. Anybody out there want to indict Hillary? Like to see some justice for Hillary? Tom Fenton with Dan Bongino, Clinton corruption, Ukraine, Spygate, targeting of Trump. They've got all the information. Folks, there isn't anything new. Here it is, complete list of Clinton associates who allegedly died mysteriously, committed suicide, the people Clinton killed. This is all on the Equal. You can go there right now, Equal Justice Tour website. This stuff's all on there, all archived, all information of what these wicked, wicked people did. They did. And we need justice. Breaking, federal court orders deposition of Hillary Clinton on emails, Benghazi attack records, and prior. Do you have any idea? This is woman here is probably one of the great, maybe top three greatest political criminals in the history of the United States of America. That woman right there. Are we going to let it go? Are we just going to ignore it? All the evidence is there. Scroll on down. See what else. I'm going to show you something else in a minute. Hillary Clinton, the most investigated innocent person in America. Scroll on down. Clinton email scandal update. What's that? April 16, 2020. That's 4.5 years ago. We're going to let her get away with it? Are we going to let her get away with it? Declassified documents show the CIA briefed Obama on Hillary's plan to link Trump to the Russian report. Are we going to let Obama get away with it, friends? Are we going to let him get away with it? Are we going to bring justice, equal justice? Yes or no? So do me a favor, put this link in the chat so you guys can go down there and read about all the stuff that Hillary Clinton did and got away. We had We had shirts. I wear my shirt everyone. I don't wear that. Indict Hillary. Equal justice tour, right? We were after it hard. We were in Chappaqua, New York. We did take signed, sworn affidavits to the police and ask them to investigate her, and they refused to do it. They refused to do it. And I say it's time that we resurrect, huh? Justice denied. What did Martin Luther King say? Justice delayed is justice denied. Friends, folks, public justice for that woman. Public justice for Hillary Clinton. Click on number three, because here's how effective we were. A lot of you don't know this. A lot of you don't know this. Newsweek magazine. When? What's the date? July 6, 2019. Right-wing activists file formal complaint with Hillary Clinton's local police department demanding her arrest. Dudes, that'd be us. That'd be us. Scroll down, Spencer. 2019, there's evidence that we presented against Hillary. Scroll on down. Scroll on down. Keep going. There's old Siskavich, our old buddy. Listen, folks, evidence. Is there evidence that we did this to Hillary? Is there evidence? Well, play this video.
The criminal complaints that we have to the Chappaqua Police Department.
Hey, what's up,
brother? There's old Ray.
For veterans,
okay.
And we swore an oath to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies. And so she was our public servant, you know, at one time, and she wasn't held accountable. So now we're looking to hold her accountable. And you, as a lawful officer, took an oath to uphold justice, uphold the law. And so these are signed and notarized.
Okay.
So
they're official. Okay. I will take these.
No, they are signed, notarized complaints. She violated the law. And they did nothing with them. And how important was this? This was so important that Newsweek magazine featured it. Go back to the top. Go back to the top. Of course, what did they call us? What did they call us? Right-wing activists. Folks, when's the last time you heard the media call them left-wing activists? Anybody remember that? Left-wing activists. And I'll never forget, we were there in Chappaqua, New York, and our good friend Randy Lunsford, who I didn't even really know at that time, we were getting gas, and Randy came up to me. He says, Coach, I gotta go back to Hillary's. We went to her house. I said, what? He said, Coach, the Lord told me to do something. I didn't do it. I got to go back to her house. I said, what do you got to do, Randy? He said, look, Lord told me to come and lay hands on that gate of hers, and I got to go back and do that. And Randy went back and laid hands on that gate, put his feet under the gate and hands over the clay gate, and prayed that kingdom. Right, Randy? Did you do that, Randy?
Coach, that changed my life. That was the first major time I did something way out of my box, way out of my comfort zone. But it changed my life, Coach. And I will say this, Coach, that what we did there and all the legal, the work that we did, lawful work, it will not go.
It will not be in vain. It
will change everything. We have to just let God's timetable, let it run. And if we'll believe God, He guarantee it, Coach, this justice, this public notice, all of this is going to come to fruition. It's just going to happen. It's not as happening as fast as we want it to, but sometimes God said some things got to run 7 years. Some things got to run 10 years.
Timing.
Just let it happen.
It's a timing issue, isn't it, Randy? It's a timing.
We got to believe it, Coach, but we believe it. That's the main point. We did this in faith. We still believe it in faith, and it's going to happen.
So we're seeing all across America now that Donald Trump is being indicted by local prosecutors. Folks, by the way, it's exactly what we did when we went to Chappaqua. We asked the locals to please do their job. They didn't do it yet. This all ties together with all the stuff Randy's been doing, and going and praying at courthouses and praying at the Supreme Court and staking them, right? Those are the high places that we are pulling down. Folks, I'm just telling you, man, we're pulling them down. We're pulling them down. Somebody come on in. I got an open slate up in there.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Please do.
So
earlier that day, this is so cool what Randy did, because earlier that day, before Matt and I left New Hampshire, the Lord told me to pray for grace and favor with authorities and people in official positions. And I had no idea why. And it wasn't until Randy went back, because I was with you guys at the gas station.
Yes, sir.
Got to go back, right? And he went back there, and the Secret Service allowed him to do that.
That's right.
And when he came back and told us what happened, I went, oh, my word. That's why the Lord had me pray for that. It all made sense. It was like dominoes, one hitting the next. It was really something, but it goes back to obedience. The Lord said, you pray for this, and I prayed for that. And then Lord told Randy, you do this, and he did that. It was like one thing set up the next. And it was
Randy, through the Spirit of God, breached the threshold of demonic power over Hillary. By the way, she hasn't been the same since. Randy, tell that story. What you did when you went there, Randy.
Well, Coach, I was sitting on my back porch. This was when you was planning this trip, and I didn't know if I probably had no plans of going, but I'm sitting here with one of my friends and buddies. We're just talking about the Lord, and we're praise worshiping a little bit, and all he speaks. He said, I got something hit me. I got to say it. And he did. And he looked at me and he goes, are you going to do it? And basically I talked to my wife about it. And when I told her, she said, you're going, you got to do it. So that was it, Coach. You provided the platform. So we just went up there, and then, just little old me concrete guy out of Oklahoma went and laid his hand on the gate, was obedient, spoke what God gave us to say, and believe, and just, I mean, and I studied, Coach. God, I never knew anything about strongholds, thresholds, any of that stuff. And I started studying it just there a week or two before we went. And it just opened everything. And I realized that this is a prophetic trip, that something's going to happen. We're going to do something that's going to set something in motion. And, Coach, we did.
Amen.
I did, but everyone did. It's like Kevin said, this was a group effort. It wasn't just me. Amen. It was a group effort.
Doug Hagman was with us. Hey, do me a favor. I'm running out of time here. Spencer, pull that Newsweek article back up, because I was just reading down this. Folks, I want you to listen to the bias in the media, okay? A group of right-wing activists filed a formal complaint with the Newcastle Police Department in New York this weekend, calling for the criminal charges to be brought against a notable area resident, Hillary Clinton. Members of the Equal Justice Church, a group of radical right-wing activists advocating for the arrest of Clinton, marched to the 2006 Democratic presidential candidate's local police department near her home at Chappaqua on Saturday to drop off the complaint documents with officers. A Newcastle Police Department officer confirmed to Newsweek their arrival at roughly 2. Folks, they can't destroy that evidence. They still have that evidence, right? A live stream event took place. Some of us are veterans, and we swore to defend the Constitution from domestic enemies, the activist told the officer. That was Alan. You, as a lawful officer, took an oath to uphold justice, uphold the law, and so these, which he handed them to her, holding up a sack of papers, are signed and notarized. Scroll on down, Spencer. Oh, my goodness. The archives are full, right? Okay, I will take these, and I will forward them to the prosecutor, the officer said. Did he? Did the prosecutor do his job? Kyle Mann, the guy who wrote it, said the Equal Justice Tour was established in April after radical religious right activist Dave Dobenmeyer drove to Clinton's home in Chappaqua, blah, 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 blah. Dobenmeyer's actions led to the group organizing a Memorial Day stunt where they protested outside Clinton's home. Following that, yada, 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 we're going to Chappaqua, New York, and we're going to file a formal complaint with Chappaqua Police Department, County Police Department. We're filing a report to call for the indictment of Hillary Clinton. Hey, Randy, we got unfinished business, boys and girls. Newsweek magazine has documented the truth of what it is that we did. 2019, baby.
Boom.
Craig Nickel, there's got to be some numbers in there, Craig.
Well, actually, it is, Coach, because you went off the unction of the Lord.
Yep.
And the unction of the Lord just happens to be what? July 4th, right? And I told you several times, July 4th is a very significant spiritual thing, okay, which was the 243rd year from the signing of the Constitution in 1776.
Yeah. Hey, I'm out of time. Hang in there, folks. Come on, stand up. Come join us in Ohio next weekend, 2 weekends. God bless you. See you tomorrow.